One minute, Gary was screaming for his life, clawing at the doorframe into his own kitchen as a vortex like the intake on a jet engine tried to suck him in. The next, he was standing on a cobbled street in front of a whitewashed stone building that looked plucked from a medieval town. The sign above the door identified the place as the Uncommon Room. "No way," Gary said breathlessly. This was the tavern where his players were supposed to meet. All around him, pedestrians were dressed in tunics, doublets, and tabards. Some even wore armor of various makes. Horse hooves clacked on the cobbles, and the notes of a lute rose above the general din issuing from within the tavern. Unable to resist, he pulled open the door and entered the Uncommon Room. Inside was a place halfway between an Irish pub and a Viking mead hall. Stone floor, exposed wooden rafters, long trestle tables with benches down the sides. A bar ran along one wall in front of stacked barrels of distilled and fermented spirits. And tending that bar was a real live halfling. Gary struggled for the fellow's name, but this was the bartender he'd written for the Uncommon Room. He knew without having to look behind the bar that the halfling had a shelf-like mezzanine to work from, allowing him to interact with the patrons at eye level. Gary stumbled through the tavern in dazed wonderment. The lantern light, the roaring hearth fire with a cauldron of stew bubbling its earthy aroma through the common room, the smaller clustered tables in the shadowed recesses of the room's far corners, the low stage upon which the evening's bardic entertainer performed. People were staring, he realized. Looking down, Gary saw that he wasn't dressed like any of them. He was still wearing his favorite sweatshirt, emblazoned with his garage band's vanity swag, a pair of crossed swords impaling a quarter note, plus jeans and work boots. If this was a vivid dream, he wished he could have at least cosplayed for it. He spotted them in the back corner of the tavern. Daryl caught his eye first, both for being among the outnumbered black-skinned patrons in this far northern city, and for being half a head taller than his companions. Gary opened his mouth to call out, but stopped short. This wasn't the Daryl he knew. Daryl might have been over 6 feet with room to spare, but he was built like a stick figure. The version of him sitting there with a foaming mug of ale in hand filled out the suit of armor he wore, and the corded muscle at his neck supported a shaved head with a jawline that you could bend horseshoes around. Gary studied the rest of the table from a discreet spot next to the wall. Kim wore fine chainmail covered in a tabard emblazoned with the holy symbol of Sevius, with a pendant bearing the same image around her neck. She looked just the same as she had at the gaming table, except for her hair. Rather than unadorned and straight, her glossy black locks hung in a long braid draped across her shoulder and plaited with ribbons in the colors of her goddess. It was a good look on her, and something that the real world Kim wouldn't have dared try. At Kim's side was Katie. Taller and slimmer than the Katie who'd been holding Caspian, her features had sharpened, and her eyes had brightened to a vivid green. The mop of wavy blonde hair had straightened and lengthened, pulled back in a ponytail to expose a pair of gracefully pointed ears. Her leather armor hugged a figure that Katie couldn't have pulled off even before her pregnancy. At her feet, a wolf puppy gnawed on a ham bone. But it was Marty that had Gary covering his mouth to keep from bursting out in laughter. Marty was a halfling. That giant, tubby blowhard was half his real-world height, clean-shaven, and boasting a mop of untamed brown hair. There was no sign of Zane. "Bet he's the reason I'm here," Gary muttered softly. Wonderment and awe had forestalled questions over what exactly was going on here. Now that he'd had a moment to think, the most likely cause was some sort of hallucinogen. That strange gas in the glass ball was probably some exotic drug, which meant that Gary, and presumably everyone else, was stoned out of his mind right then.